Play, a murder game played by people whose business is murder. And here to see foul play is your chairman, Simon Brett.
Hello, welcome to another half hour of Dastardly Deeds, in which, before your very ears, a crime will not only be committed, but also solved. And to help in the solving process, I'm delighted to welcome back two highly skilled professional crime writers, Margaret York and Tim Heald. Margaret is a mistress of understated menace and the evil that lurks behind the neatly ruched curtains of the British middle classes. Her partner in crime today, Tim Heald, is also a journalist, biographer and comic novelist. Ladies and gentlemen, our guest investigators. Margaret and Tim don't yet know what monsters of depravity and icons of innocence they'll be meeting in today's mystery. One thing I'll guarantee, though, is that all the parts will be played by Foul Play's resident repertory company, Lee Simpson and Maria McCurlin. Enough introductions. Time for a crime. As Lee reads the opening to this week's mystery entitled Death and Two Copies, Please.
The offices of Huntington Plastic Mouldings were a mix of the old and the new, a good representation of the current state of the company. The room from which the managing director, Stephen Huntington, worked was modern and minimalist. Only the monochrome photograph on the wall of the company's founder, Stephen's father, Reginald Huntington, gave a whisper of the past. The outer area, controlled with a rod of iron by the office manager, Pauline Venables, could have come from a different decade. Its computers were outdated, their tired beige smudged black from the touch of a million fingerprints. On Pauline's own desk there was even a manual typewriter, along with an old-fashioned spike impaling a sheaf of paid invoices. The clutter on the corner desk also looked too dated for its 19-year-old owner, the office junior Jordan Knight. But the most incongruous sight which greeted Pauline Venables as she opened up that Tuesday morning was to be seen at the outer office's third desk. The safe behind was open, its contents scattered over the floor, and, upright in her typing chair, sat HPM's 23-year-old secretary, Jonelle Ackerley. But her posture was not voluntary. Her arms and legs had been fixed to the chair by strips of brown packing tape. There were further strips around her head, crushing the bubbly blonde hair tight to her skull, sealing her nostrils and the mouth from which her bubbly giggle would never again emerge. Jonelle Ackerley was dead.
Thank you. Well, not leaping to conclusions, it looks like we're in the world of offices here. Margaret, from your knowledge of office life, where would your instinctive suspicions lie in this case?
Well, of course, if it appears to be a sexual crime, you'd say cherchez la femme, but the femme seems to be dead, unless in some way she and Pauline Venables had some clash over possibly their boss, Mr. Steve Huntington.
Good, yes, excellent. Tim, any...
What exactly is a plastic moulding? I'm rather unclear.
A plastic moulding? Well, this is a bit technical, and I'm not sure that we've got time. But there is a very good book on the subject called Mouldings Extruded and Intruded by J.P. Chatterjee, which I think you'll enjoy. I'm afraid the fact that you're still rather in the dark is no surprise, because so far you've got very little information. But let's remedy that state of affairs by catching up with the official investigations into the murder of Jonelle Ackerley. The case is being handled by Detective Sergeant Constable. Over to you, DS.
Thank you. From outward appearances, the murder of Jonelle Ackerley looks like a robbery that went wrong. However, various inconsistencies at the crime scene have led us in the police to suspect that that is what somebody wanted us to believe. A window in the gentleman's staff lavatory had been broken, but more glass was scattered outside than in, and though it rained all last night, there were no marks left by an intruder's shoes on the linoleum. The office safe had not been forced, but opened by someone who knew its combination, and only a small amount of petty cash was missing. We are therefore of the belief that Jonelle Ackerley was murdered not by an intruder, but by one of her colleagues. It was what we in the police call an inside job. Miss Ackley died around 7 or 8 in the evening. Since the HPM factory closes at 5 and she was seen alive at 6:30 by Mr. Stephen Huntingdon and Miss Pauline Venables, we can rule out the factory workers. Our list of suspects therefore narrows down to Mr. Huntingdon, Miss Venables and Mr. Jordan Knight. According to her parents, Jonelle Ackley was a lively, outgoing young woman. And according to her best friend, she was a right little raver. When I have more information, I'll let you know soonest. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Detective Sergeant Constable. Has any of the new information that you've got brought you nearer to fingering the perpetrator of this appalling murder, Tim?
Well, we're told it's an inside job, so I suppose that narrows it down. The fact that she was a right little raver indicates that perhaps right little raving had something to do with a motive.
Has this been your experience?
On an anecdotal and observatory basis, yes, I think so. And I would certainly suspect Mr. Huntingdon.
Margaret?
Well, I'm intrigued about Mr. Jordan Knight. We seem to know nothing about him except he's aged 19. Perhaps he raved also.
It's a more of a raving age, isn't it?
It is,
yes,
my experience.
Yes, yes. No, I think very, very, very perceptive. But I think you still need some more facts. So let's hear now from three of the people involved in HPM. And our first statement comes from the Managing Director of Huntingdon Plastic Mouldings, Mr. Stephen Huntingdon.
Steve, please. And HPM. We no longer use the full name of the company. I took over as MD last year when my father died. Nothing against the old boy personally, but he was a dinosaur. Still trying to make HPM work by concentrating on the old lines that had done well in the past. He couldn't recognise that the demand for bath-time plastic ducks just isn't there anymore. Not everybody in the company welcomed change, but Jonelle Ackerley did. She almost managed to persuade my old dad we should come into the 21st century. Funny, he'd take that kind of suggestion much better from her than from me. I had no idea why anyone would want to kill Jonelle. I think the police were too hasty to rule out the obvious. Intruder, broke in, poor kid happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time, got trussed up and suffocated. Alternatively, could have been a jealous boyfriend. Pretty girl like Jonelle must have had plenty of boyfriends. Me? Good heavens, no. Happily married to my wife, Maureen, with 2 kids. I wouldn't have time for an office romance, even if the idea appealed. Which it doesn't. And now, could you excuse me? I've back-to-back meetings all day.
I'm sorry to take more time out of your busy schedule, Mr. Huntingdon, but I'm afraid our guest investigators need to ask you a few questions. 2 minutes with Stephen Huntingdon, and Margaret, perhaps you'd like to start.
Mr. Huntingdon, could you explain to me the role that your father plays in the business?
Not any since he died.
Oh, so he's dead. Could you tell me when he died?
It was around 18 months ago. I've read right through a book called Grieving for the Middle Classes, and but it still hurts a little when I think about it.
And Miss Ackley was employed here before your father's death.
Because it was the old boy who took her on, and it was a great decision. She was a go-getting girl.
And you don't think there was any sort of, I don't wish to speak ill of the dead, hanky-panky between your late father and Miss Ackley?
Oh, good gracious, no, the very thought. My father was very faithful to my mother, and very faithful to the company as well. It would have hurt both for him to carry on like that, and I don't think he would have done either.
Because you said that she livened him up.
Did I say that?
Yeah.
He was a man who was willing to listen to ideas wherever they came from. He valued an idea on its merits, rather than whether it came from someone in a miniskirt and stiletto shoes or not.
I see.
A saint, not a man. Tim,
you say that your father actually took Miss Ackley on. Was that a completely unilateral decision? Were you consulted in any way?
Oh, no, I wasn't. No, it was my father's decision.
Entirely.
He was running the company pretty much single-handedly until I took over.
So what were you doing before this?
Well, I was really much more involved in the day-to-day running and a lot of R&D. That was my main area, research and development.
I see, into plastic mouldings.
Yeah.
So you had absolutely nothing whatever to do with the recruitment of...
No hiring or firing, no. I was just into new ranges. I was working with some very, very exciting new ranges coming out from HPM pretty soon. It's going to knock your socks off, let me tell you.
I'm sure it will.
Also going to hold your socks, because one of them is a plastic sock holder. So knock them off and hold them.
Brilliant.
Thank you, Mr. Huntingdon. Perhaps you'll better get back to being a captain of industry.
Yeah.
And we'll move on to our second statement, which was given to the police by the HPM office manager, Pauline Venables.
I'm very sorry that the young lady died, but I can't pretend I'll miss her. I've been with the company since I left school. Nearly 40 years now. Dear, oh dear. With only 1 year out, I've watched it grow. Reggie, that's old Mr. Huntingdon, he was full of ideas, worked every hour there was. Always here, never home. Mind you, if you'd met his wife Rita, that might not surprise you. Steve's got the same kind of dedication. He's a very fine young man. I think Janelle was probably still here when I left that afternoon. End of the day, she'd often spend a long time titivating herself in the ladies' cloakroom. But she was efficient, I have to give her that. She did know the combination of the safe. Yes, so did I, obviously. It's 1429, if you want to know. I'm absolutely certain Steve had no interest in Janelle Ackerley except as a working colleague. And what? Reggie? That's a very offensive suggestion. The poor man's dead. Reggie and me? Oh, really? Of course not. You lot are as bad as television and the newspapers. Why does everything have to come down to sex?
I'm sorry, it's just one of those things that seems to happen. Anyway, thank you very much, Miss Venables. Right, guest investigators, you have 2 minutes to cross-examine Pauline Venables. Tim, you start.
You admit that you weren't at all fond of the deceased. Was this...
No, I didn't say that. I found her flighty.
Exactly. Did this antipathy, was it mutual?
I believe she thought I was a fuddy-duddy.
Well, you were not in any way jealous of her right little raving. I mean, no aspirations to right little raving yourself.
I don't quite understand what you're getting at, really. I think my raving days are long since over. If indeed I ever had any.
Miss Venables, you said that you had a year out from work. Could you explain what you were doing during that year?
Well, yes, I was rather ill. I had, I don't want to go into great detail, but I had women's troubles.
Women's troubles wouldn't have weighed about 7.5 pounds.
I don't really know what you're getting at.
How long ago was this year out, may I ask?
30-odd years ago.
Not 24 years ago.
No. It was 30-odd years, I remember. I was very poorly. It was a very simple operation that had complications. If I say the word fibroids to you, does that mean anything?
Oh, indeed. I am so sorry.
Could you explain it to me, then?
Yes. And now, can you tell me, describe your relationship to Mr. Knight? What is your relationship with the assistant sales manager?
Is that what he calls himself? No, he's an office junior.
I see. And is he an efficient young man?
No, not at all. I don't want to mince my words here, but let's call a spade, shall we? He's rubbish.
I'm sorry to say that you've run out of time there, and we now move on to our third statement. This was given to the police by Jordan Knight, who is the office junior.
Oi! I'm not the office junior. I'm assistant, the assistant sales manager.
I beg your pardon. Very well, Mr. Knight. Over to you.
Cheers. I've no idea what the combination of the safe is. Nah, Mr. Huntingdon wouldn't trust me with that kind of information. Night Janelle died, I left the office usual time, 5:30. Mr. Huntingdon, Pauline and Janelle, they was all still there. I'd gone straight home, my mum has me supper on her table, 6:30, shot, and I went down to White Swan and met some mates. Sank maybe a dozen pints with them. Closing time, I've gone home. I didn't hear about Janelle being dead till I got to work the next morning. Fancy her? Yeah. Well, I fancy all fit women. They like me and all. I used to talk a bit sexy to Janelle around the office. Tasteful, though, you know. Just so I wouldn't mind giving her one, that kind of stuff. I never got anywhere. Didn't mess with blokes her own age yet, Janelle. Like her men richer and older. I don't fancy older women, no. Pauline? Police. What'd you take me for? No, I'm sure she wouldn't mind. But I don't do charity work. Now, Pauline didn't like Janelle. Now. For starters, Janelle was much more efficient than she was. And then Pauline was jealous of how well Janelle got on with Mr. Huntington. And, I gather, with old Mr. Huntington too. Though, you know, I wasn't around then. Say it.
Not quite, I'm afraid. Guest investigators, you have 2 minutes with Jordan Knight. Margaret, perhaps you'd like to begin the cross-examination.
Did you ever suspect that Mr. Huntingdon Jr.'s interest in Miss Ackerley was more than just that of a boss to his employee?
Well, I don't know. That sort of thing goes on. I know. He never showed any signs of it, you know. But who knows? You know, still waters run deep and all that, you know. Hey?
Well, indeed. Were they ever late, to your knowledge, late together at the office? Did you leave?
I don't really know, because I'm normally late.
Oh, I didn't mean in the morning. I meant leaving in the evening.
Oh, I don't know, because I always leave up past five on a dot. I'm out of there.
And so they would... So normally they would, might still be in the office.
Oh, could well be, yeah, could well be, yeah.
Tim?
Tell us a bit more about the atmosphere. I'm interested in the sort of working atmosphere in this office. I mean, how often would you talk to Janelle, for instance?
And well, you know, all the time, because then I'd be like running around doing stuff, you know. And, you know, if I had something to take to her or something like that, I'd have a little chat with her, you know. All right, like what you're wearing, girl. That's nice.
So the chat wouldn't have anything to do with plastic mouldings.
Talk about plastic mouldings. No, you're not going to pick up many birds talking about plastic mouldings, mate.
Were you surprised at this apparently violent death? I mean, did it come as a shock?
Well, you know, yeah. Well, murder always is a bit of a surprise, isn't it?
Always. I mean, you had experience of murders in the past.
No. Well, actually, no. There was a bloke who was beaten to death down the White Swan a couple of years back, but, you know, he was from Romford. I don't know what you're asking for, really, are you?
I think we should probably release Jordan Knight, don't you? I mean... thank you very much.
We might require to speak to him again.
I mean, actually, now you've heard from all three, I think we can call them suspects. Would you say you're nearer to deciding which one of them is the murderer?
Is it not possible that she was having a relationship with her boss, Mr. Steve Huntington? They would be in a relaxed mood in the office, so that she would not be suspecting anything if he suddenly came at her with the Scotch tape.
Or indeed, it might have been exactly what she was expecting. Interesting theories, yes. Well, I'm sure you'll be glad to hear we do have a little further to go in our... Good heavens, there's a police car coming.
Mr. Brett, I said I'd let you know soonest if we got some new evidence.
Yes, but do you really need the sirens?
Not really, no. I just like the noise they make, that's all.
Ah, would you mind turning them off?
Oh, all right.
So, what is the evidence?
We have two new pieces of information. The first comes from an interview we conducted with Warren Herbert, one of Jordan Knight's regular drinking companions.
Yeah, I remember that night. Well, bits of it. Because Jordan didn't arrive at the White Swan till after eight. The rest of us was 3 pints of weed. And I says to him, what blooming capture? And he says, had to get some cash. Very pleased with himself, he was. And then he says, 1429. And I says, what's that? Is it a personal measurement? And old Jordan says, nah, it's a PIN number for my private personal cash point. And he laughs like, And then we have a few more pints. And I can't remember a lot more about the evening.
Yes, well, maybe next time we'll play it at the right speed. Thank you, Detective Sergeant. You said you had another piece of new evidence.
Yes, that's right. It was a message left on Mr. Steve Huntington's answer service from his mother, Mrs. Rita Huntington, timed at 7 o'clock on the evening of Jonelle Ackley's murder.
Where are you, Stephen? I bet you're off chasing after some woman. Not just like your father, Stephen. Disgusting. Who are you with, Stephen? Is it that miniskirted siren in the office? Your father was always after her, and you're just the same. I don't know where you get that side of your character from. Certainly not from me. I never let your father touch me. He was disgusting. Anyway, Stephen, you ring me the instant you get this message, or I'll call Maureen. I didn't want that poor girl to go through the kind of suffering I had to go through with your father. So you ring me. I'm not going to start eating my boiled egg until you ring me, Stephen!
Well, Margaret and Tim, in the light of these startling new pieces of evidence, has everything become clearer?
We now know, as I think we have both suspected, that Huntington, Perry, Fees are both a pair of right old ravers, dirty old men.
Right.
And then we also know that Jordan was down the White Swan and... boasting about knowing the combination of the safe.
And also was not there at the time that he said he was. Yes,
that's true.
So where was he?
Well, a very good question. Maybe you'd like to put it to him. Jordan Knight, could you come to the stand, please?
Yeah, what?
Well, Jordan, we understand from a very reliable witness that you were down the White Swan that evening, making quite free with money, and that you were quoting the combination number of the safe at HPM. Can you explain this to us?
Well... Yeah, I do actually know the combination of the safe number. Yeah, I admit it, I know it. I know the number, but I've never opened it or nothing or not or gone in there.
How long had you known the number?
Oh, I don't know. It was that day. It was only that day.
And you just happened to have discovered the number that day.
That's right.
And this crime happens to have occurred almost immediately afterwards.
Well, no,
interesting
amazing,
coincidence. And can you explain this sudden access of funds? You've suddenly got a lot of money.
I've been down a cash point, haven't I?
But this was regarded as pretty unusual by your drinking companions.
So who did you talk to?
Yes, well, thank you very much, Mr. Knight.
All right, cheers.
Thank you. Who would you like to call next?
Shifty Steve back.
Steve, the MD. Thank you.
Hi, yeah.
Mr. Huntington, have you... I'm not quite clear as to what time you say you left the office.
It was about just after 6:30, I think.
And Mr. Knight had already left.
Yes.
He leaves promptly.
I'm afraid Jordan leaves pretty promptly. He doesn't arrive so promptly as he leaves, unfortunately.
I see. And Miss Ackerley had left or was still present?
No. I saw her on the way out.
And what about Miss Venables?
I think she was still around. I'm not so sure. I think she was still around. Her desk seemed to be still active. Yeah.
Is it not true that an employee like Pauline Venables would have been as much of a family friend as a family employee?
Well, to be honest, I don't know, because I never met her until I actually started working for the company.
Oh, really?
I mean, I heard my father mentioning her occasionally, but he never talked much about work around the dinner table. He never talked much at all, actually.
Was it always understood that you would actually join your father in the company?
I think so. I think pretty
and
much.
Yet he never discussed the business with you at any point?
No.
That strike you as odd now, looking back on it?
Well, looking back, I suppose it does, yes.
And that he never, ever talked about Pauline Venables at any point?
Not really, no.
Never occurred to you that the relationship might go beyond the professional in any
good
way?
Good God, no. My father would never do anything of that sort.
What makes you so absolutely sure of that?
Well, I worked with the man for getting on for 25 years in the company.
But you said that he hardly ever talked to you about anything much. You said he was almost completely silent at the dinner table.
No, that's when I was growing up.
But subsequently, he became very talkative. So we have this complete...
I'm sorry, I'm completely lost now.
Yes, I think what we have established, which is important, is that you started working for the company when you were 10.
10, yeah. Five now.
Yep.
My father had very strict ideas about children and the way they should be brought up.
Would you like to call to the platform Miss Venables?
Yes, you must indeed. Be absolutely invaluable to this
A
company.
To Z in there.
Yes, I'm sure it is. I'm sure that you knew the combination of the safe. You also would be able to get hold of this tape very easily. You have it in your office?
Oh, yes, because we send so much of it out. Yes, we send boxes out and so on.
Do you pack a lot of these boxes yourself?
I don't personally, no. Jordan does a fair amount, but largely doesn't get there intact, obviously. This is why he has to go. Spills out of the sides and so on.
Right, well, I think I must stop you there. This is the moment, Tim and Margaret, that your investigations into the murder of Janelle Ackley are at an end. All that remains is for you to tell me who you now believe to have been our murderer. So, Margaret, who do you believe killed Janelle Ackley?
I'm going to go for Steve Huntington, and I think they were lovers, and I think she was threatening to expose this or demanded more from him than he was prepared to give. And so, in the course of their argument, perhaps accidentally, Steve Huntington killed her, and then he decided to make it look like a burglary. Thus, the window was broken from the inside,
okay.
And he opened the safe,
yep.
And so forth.
Tim, do you go along with that?
My sense of it is, I think that Margaret's quite right. I think that probably Steve and the deceased were having an affair. I suspect that Pauline had been having a long-standing affair with Father, and I have a feeling that Steve and Pauline done it together. I think
right.
It needed the two of them.
Okay, Steve and Pauline. Well, we'll see whether you are right or wrong. We're about to find out the truth of what happened at the HPM offices at 6 o'clock that fateful day. It's our Foul Play, Foul Playlet. Take it away, Leah Maria.
Jordan, thought you had gone home.
Yeah, I saw a bloke lurking around outside the office. I just thought I'd come in here. Yeah, I'll check there ain't been no trouble.
No more than usual. Pauline screwed up yet again.
I sometimes wonder how that old boiler keeps her job.
I sometimes wonder how you keep your job, Jordan.
That's my natural charm. No one can refuse me anything.
I managed to.
And you should watch it. Nasty things happen to babes who turn down Jordan night.
Oh, yeah, what kind of...
Janelle, could you come through?
Come in, Steve. See you later, Jordan.
Yeah, sure. Just need to use me cash point. 1, 4, 2...
You wanted to see me, Steve?
I've just been talking to Pauline here.
Oh, yeah? What about?
A restructuring I'm planning.
Can't do it, Steve. You mustn't.
Pauline, you've done wonders for HPM, but the company's changing, and you've shown no interest in changing with it.
I like things the way they were. Your father guaranteed I would stay as office manager until I was 60.
My father did a lot of things which won't be done again.
Now, I want you to clear your desk, Pauline. As of tomorrow, Jonelle will be taking over your job.
I don't think I want it, thanks. Too much responsibility.
But, Jonelle, you'll get more money.
I don't need more money. Your old man left me plenty for keeping quiet about his little secret. I'm sure you'll give me lots more for the same reason.
His little secret. What on earth are you talking about?
Oh, it's just that... I'll leave you to tell him, Pauline.
What is this, Pauline?
Caught red-handed, Jordan.
You tell anyone, Jonelle, and I'll...
Don't threaten me. You wouldn't dare hurt me.
I might not, but an unknown burglar might not a living...
Just coming through, Jonelle.
I'm off. Tell anyone, Jonelle, and I'll kill you. Pauline's just told me, Jonelle.
Now you see why your old man was so generous to me.
I can't believe it.
What, you didn't know that Paul...
This is the first I've heard of it. And nobody else must know.
I'll never tell. I swore to your father I wouldn't. That was the deal. He guaranteed me a job for life. If I just kept my mouth shut. So, your secret's safe, you see, Steve? So long as you keep up the payments to me, no one will ever know.
Well, how can I be entirely sure of that?
There's no way you can be entirely sure.
Oh, yes, there is.
Let go of me. Get your hands off me.
Pauline, pass me that tape.
But, Steve, that poor girl, you shouldn't.
Pass me that tape.
Ow!
This, Jonelle, is the only way I can ensure the secret never comes out. Pauline's the only other person who knows.
Apart from the woman who calls herself your mother.
And she must never find out anyone else knows. She must preserve her dignity. There! We'll tie her to a chair as if it was a break-in. Come on, help me, Pauline.
Only if I keep my job. I need to preserve my dignity too.
All right. You'll keep your job. Mother.
Thank you very much, son.
So that's what really happened. I'm quite glad I no longer work in an office. Well, Margaret and Tim, you did rather well. I mean, you both got Steve, and Tim got Steve and Pauline, though I think Pauline wasn't exactly an accomplice, though she was certainly a witness. But anyway, well done. And I'm afraid that is the end of this week's Foul Play. My thanks, as ever, go to our extraordinarily versatile cast, Lee Simpson and Maria McCurlin. And, of course, to our acute and astute guest investigators, Margaret York and Tim Heald.
Foul Play was devised and written by the chairman, Simon Brett. The producer was Anne Jobson.